The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle Podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. TJ Inman will be along with us shortly to go over Indiana's 20-16 win over the Virginia Cavaliers on a awful, awful rainy night in Bloomington on Saturday. So before we get going, just to keep people updated, we are still doing bingo. We need people's winners to send in their bingo cards so we could get your raffle ticket entries. Anyway, we'll have bingo back for week three this week, presented by Vintage Brand Sports. They have some cool stuff. I know the holidays are a little bit ways away, but check it out. If you need gifts for people, head over there and get some cool vintage sports stuff. They have more than IU stuff. They have Cubs, all that stuff. But right now, we're going to get back to talking Indiana. We're going to wrap up the Virginia game before we head into Ball State. Right now, we welcome in TJ Inman. TJ, how are you doing?
Doing well, yeah. It's good to have the Hoosiers sitting at 2-0. I know it was not a particularly pretty game by any means, which we certainly expected with the rainstorm that just settled all over the Midwest for the entirety of the weekend. So I think we probably got a game that was just about what we expected given the weather in Indiana. The difference from this one and then past iterations of games like it, Indiana managed to hold on and win this one, but it certainly seemed like the wheels were coming off there for a little while.
I didn't watch the game live all that much. I was at my cousin's wedding, and I couldn't be a rude guest. And I just want to give a shout out also to the rest of our team, TJ. I thought Laura Lee, Shallow, Riley Kine, Nathan, who actually sat in the stands the entire game in the rain. I think they did an awesome job this week, and I appreciate them stepping up last week for and helping me so I could spend time with my family at my cousin's wedding. Anyway, it was exactly, going back and watching it, it probably was worse in person than it looked on TV, and it looked pretty bad on TV. The field held up great, and I think this was just a survive and advance game for Indiana from the way the play calling went in the second half. They held on to the ball for the most part, other than that one interception. Nope. Running backs put the ball on the ground. That's something that Indiana needs to be proud of. They created a fumble on special teams that led to a touchdown that turned the game around. But this is a win you could hang your hat on. That, TJ, I texted you after the game. That's a game IU probably usually loses in the past. And they talk about finishing, and IU finished that game while it got a little dicey there at the end. That's two. When they needed a play to close out the game, 2-0, it's better than being at 0-2 going into week three.
Yeah, I think that Indiana has a lot of things to shore up. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, it's much better to have to focus on what needs improved while you're also winning. And Indiana was able to do that. I thought the defense, after getting gashed that first drive, I thought that they held up very well, did a really nice job against Jordan Ellis. He really could not get anything going, particularly in comparison with Stevie Scott. Bryce Perkins, he hurt Indiana a little bit with his legs, but I thought overall, IU did a nice job there, and then really he was ineffective as a passer for the most part. Virginia really didn't test it much. And I'm sure part of that was related to the weather. The second half, they did open up a little bit because they were forced to trailing. But, you know, overall, I thought that IU did what they had to do to win. That last drive, you know, was certainly nerve-wracking as, you know, it seemed like Indiana had left the door open just enough to let Virginia, you know, sting them at the end. And we've seen that play out so many times before as IU football fans. But this time the defense was able to get the stop. It looked like they had one forcing Virginia into a couple of third downs and into a fourth down and then into another fourth down that, you know, had Raheem Lane get the interception and run the clock out, which was nice. I mean, that took about 15 seconds, but them running around and getting the clock to zero, that was good. Of course, it resulted in one untimed down because of the pass interference, but Indiana was able to have that fall harmlessly incomplete. So certainly, I think what you're looking at as the major positives would be the running game. Without Cole Guest and without Morgan Ellison, Guest for the whole year, Ellison still indefinitely, as the university investigation continues. Again, you know, we'll repeat, nobody knows what's going to happen with the Morgan Ellison situation. We just have to assume that IU's not going to have him this season. If they get him back for any games, that's a positive. On the field, but I think we have to operate under the assumption that Ellison will not be playing for the Hoosiers this season. So that leaves you with a lot of questions at running back, and Stevie Scott provided one huge answer, went for 200-plus, and I thought showed really good patience as a runner, good elusiveness. He did a really nice job of constantly falling forward, turning, you know, a 3-yard gain into a 5-yard gain because he just moves forward. Very north and south runner, but also showing patience to find the holes and letting them develop. Kudos to the offensive line. It was not a tremendous performance from them in week number one, but we knew that the rotation there would tighten in week two, and it did. And I thought that they played very well in run protection. Okay, in pass protection, could certainly get better there. I thought that, you know, it's very hard to evaluate the passing game. The receivers, in my opinion, did a nice job when they were given a chance to make plays. They did, which the same could not be said for Virginia's receivers, who had a couple drops. Indiana's did not, and that's a big positive. Donovan Hale, of course, making plays again is a positive. For Peyton Ramsey, it's hard to evaluate. I mean, we know the arm strength is the big question mark with him, and that just gets magnified when the ball gets weighed down and wet, as it certainly was. So it's hard to say. I know that that's a position that I would anticipate Michael Penix gets some snaps on Saturday against Ball State, not because I think Indiana's going to just torch Ball State, but because I think it's something that the staff needs to look at before we get into Big Ten play, to how they're going to handle that. Can Indiana reach its full potential with Ramsey at quarterback? That's a question that has yet to be answered, and probably won't be answered for quite some time. But overall, you know, a good enough from the offense, and I thought the defense showed a step forward in week number two. I know that there were still some issues there with some missed gaps that allowed Bryce Perkins to find some running room and a couple of broken coverages that a better quarterback would have hurt Indiana with. But overall, I think IU certainly has a lot to be proud of getting out of there at 2-0 and moving on. I don't know how much you can take from it in terms of what certain guys looked like because the conditions were so difficult. But I think Indiana just has to be pleased that they were able to tough it out and get a win over a team that honestly, I think Virginia probably finds themselves right around six wins this season. I think that that's a pretty decent football team that Indiana found a way to beat. And now you look back after these 2 weeks, you say, well, you know, we're 2-0, and we've beaten back-to-back teams that went to bowl games in 2017. I know that neither of those opponents are great, but I think they're both pretty solid. And for Indiana to beat both of them and be 2-0 at this point in the season is a really good solid start for Tom Allen's second year.
Yeah, and I agree with you on all those points. There are concerns coming out of this game. My main concern is special teams on field goal protection. They had two kicks blocked. They false started on the extra point that was blocked the point before that would have prevented it. That led to 2 points. The blocked field goal late in the game that would have made it a touchdown game and made it more comfortable. The drive after that, Virginia goes down and scores to make it a 4-point game instead of it was a 9-point swing there. Those are the little things that in 2016 really made special teams a liability with the kicking game. Now, on the bright side, those were some tough conditions. The snap was there. The hold was there. It was just the protection wasn't there. Hayden Whitehead did a phenomenal job. His net average took a hit, but that's because they kept punting from the 34-yard line, and he put 4 inside the 20. He did really, really well. Kickoffs, there were no big returns. Kickoff coverage is fine. Forced a fumble that led to an IU touchdown as well. And another concern for me, I thought the defense played well. 9 tackles for loss was great. And fans keep telling me, you know, I keep getting these messages on Twitter. Wow, the defense didn't. Well, everybody thought that Bryce Perkins is the next coming of Michael Vick. Coming into this game, Kennard Robinson or something like that. And they held Virginia to 14 points, offensive points, 7 over the last 40 minutes or so. And so that defense, that they grew up a lot. They played a lot of young guys. Do they need to clean some stuff up? Like you said, TJ, yeah. Do they need probably to get a pass rush better? Yes. And they'll get tested this week against Ball State. But offensively, I thought they would run the ball a little bit more, especially late in the game. Watching bits and pieces of it live, it was like every big play came with a run. Then they would pass it, and they ended up stalling out, before they got to the red zone, things like that. I didn't think the game plan was bad. I didn't think the play calling was that bad. It was just, run the ball. Stevie Scott had himself a day. One thing that they do need to do, they need to open up this running back rotation. Stevie Scott was the only running back to touch the ball. IU didn't target Watt Fillier all that much. I don't think he had a target at all. They didn't get him on jet sweep, so I don't know what that was about. Maybe Ricky Brookins, Ronnie Walker, those guys some touches just to take the load off of a true freshman. Now he's built like a house, and his legs are very solid, but if you're running Stevie Scott 31 times a game, you just cross your fingers and hope he lasts the entire season, especially when he hit the Big Ten.
Yeah.
But overall, good win, awful conditions. Tom Allen he avoided a not top 10 play. I'll tell you that. Coming off the field, celebrating, kicking the trash can. All I could think of is him slipping on that. It's rubberized track. And if anybody's run on one of those old school rubberized tracks in the rain, it is like a skating rink. He was pumped up, thanking the students for staying. And a big shout out to the IU students who stayed and went to the game and puffed it out in the rain. Yeah, Tom Allen, I thought he was going to fall on his butt, rear end. But that was very cool. He ended up, picking up the trash Sunday morning at 6 a.m. After he realized that he kicked the trash can over. But a very cool moment. Let's move on to Ball State, TJ. this is a series that has, I hesitate to call it a rivalry, but it is. It's turning into one because Ball State has been competitive. Ball State coming into the game has won 3 of the last 4 meetings. They've won 3 in a row prior to IU's win in 2016. They're always a tough team coming into Bloomington. They're going to play with a tough chip on their shoulder. They've got a couple nice players on offense, Riley Neal and James Gilbert, and some speedy wide receivers. They gave Notre Dame a run for their money up in South Bend, although that game was not as close as the score indicated, 24-16, but Ball State scored 10 points in the fourth quarter to make it that close after Notre Dame looked like they took their foot off the gas. 3 turnovers, takeaways they forced, 3 interceptions. That's something that IU is going to have to figure out. Peyton Ramsey probably should have thrown more than 1 pick against Virginia. He played well. He did, including 16 to 22 passes. That's very impressive in that weather. But there were a couple passes that probably should have been picked off, a swing pass in the flat that if the guy catches, it's a touchdown the other way unless he trips over the receiver, and a couple other balls where if he had a little bit more zip on it, the receiver, it gets there a little faster, and the defender can't make a play on it. So, yeah, I would expect to see Mike Penix this weekend as well. So we'll see. Game kicks off at noon. It's on Big Ten Network, and we'll see. I think Ball State coming in, talk about their offense, TJ. It's led by Riley Neal. But last year, Ball State was absolutely dreadful. They went 2-10. But what people don't realize is, though, after game 3, they lost Riley Neal, James Gilbert. Like 7 starters went out for the season in the first half, and then it just all went downhill from there and resulted in 2-10 season. This team is much more talented than that. They're going to be tougher. Riley Neal is a big NFL-bodied quarterback. He has a strong arm. Tom Allen said he's probably the most complete quarterback they've faced to date this season. He can sling it around. They've got some fast receivers as well who are going to cause problems on these short passes. In Justin Hall, he's a sophomore from Georgia. He's got speed. Riley Miller is a bigger receiver at 6'1". And then you have James, the running backs are pretty good as well. James Gilbert out of Indianapolis. Caleb Huntley and Malik Dunnard. They ran for over 300 yards combined against Central Connecticut in their opener. They put up 166 on Notre Dame, who's supposed to be a stout defense. This is going to be a dogfight, and more than people expected. Their line has some good size. They go 6'4", 284, 6'4", 300, 6'3", 280, 6'5", 305, and 6'4", 295. So they're a tough team, and we'll see what they have to do. But to me, IU's going to have to stop their running game. They base a lot of their pass off of that running success, and this is a game where you feel good about your Virginia win. You got a big primetime game with Michigan State coming up the following week. It's kind of a trap game. And Ball State's got to be feeling pretty decent about themselves coming out of South Bend, covering that spread, and really had a chance to do some damage up there if they didn't get help field goals in the red zone.
Well, it's interesting because, reading a lot of the Notre Dame fan reaction on kind of their SB Nation fan site, a couple of other sites, their fans, of course, felt like Notre Dame really did not play well at all. Not surprising, of course, when you're, closer than you expect to be against an opponent that you think you're going to hammer.
And coming off a big win against Michigan, too.
Yes. Yeah, I think there is something to that. Look, Notre Dame's players, I am 99.9% sure we're not all that focused on what the Ball State Cardinals were going to present. That doesn't mean that they didn't try it. It doesn't mean that Ball State, you know, doesn't deserve a lot of credit for giving Notre Dame much more of a game than what they expected. But I do think that that has to be taken into consideration when doing an evaluation of the Cardinals. A couple things that stood out to me, Riley Neal, so far this season, he's completing just 57.5% of his passes. That's not terrible, but his yards per attempt is only 5.5. So he's only attempting an average of 5.5 yards a pass attempt and still only completing 57.5%. That's just not very good. And against a pretty IU secondary, or at least what they've shown to be so far, a pretty good IU secondary, that could present some issues for Ball State, and it's an opportunity for the IU defense, I think. Now, I think the running game, Riley Neal is not going to present the same type of mobile threat that Bryce Perkins did. I think he'd probably, you know, much more the legs of, say, a James Morgan from Florida International. He's on a statue back there, but he's not going to beat you with his legs. So that's a plus for Indiana's defense, but I think that the challenge you'll get is with that kind of 1-2 punch of James Gilbert and Caleb Huntley, both of them are averaging, you know, over 5 yards to carry. So that's going to be more of a challenge. Now, I think Indiana's offense on the other side, Ball State's defense was, as you said, they had a bunch of injuries last season, so they're better than what those numbers indicate. However, Notre Dame, which I do not think has a particularly good offense, I think that they're better than average, but I don't think they're great, particularly Brandon Wimbush. He threw for almost 300 yards. Yes, he had three interceptions. That's a feather in Ball State's cap, but still, that's a guy that is not a very good thrower, and he put up almost 300 yards. So, for me, the opportunity is going to be there for Indiana's receivers to have a nice day if IU chooses to go that way. I hope to see the Hoosiers try to take advantage of that because I don't think there's many secondaries that can match up with the size of Indiana's receivers on a consistent down-to-down basis. With Donovan Hale playing the way that he is and Nick Westbrook and Luke Timian as well, that size presents a real matchup problem for defenses. And if you have a consistent threat with Stevie Scott, it forces teams to focus on the run as well as the pass. So I'm looking to see, does Indiana's offense open it up a little bit, let those receivers kind of take this game over with what I think is a Ball State secondary that's kind of there for the taking if you can make them pay for mistakes that are made, or honestly, maybe not just even mistakes, maybe just IU's guys being bigger, faster, stronger than the Ball State secondary. And if IU's aggressive with that, I think that that's a spot where they can really make hay.
Yeah, and we left out Ty Freifogel there with that group too. He's had an excellent season
so far.
And kind of a guy that people forgot about last year. With Wap Dillier coming in and making some noise, and Freifogel missing most of the year. But he's been a really nice second, third option for Peyton Ramsey. He's made some big catches on third down. So Ty Freifogel is another guy that you can lean on. You saw Austin Doris get his first career catch. Now, he did not gain a yard. He got -1 yard, but he finally got that monkey off his back, getting that first catch, and they're involving the tight ends more. And this offense hasn't really hit its stride in terms of doing everything that they can, and a lot of that has to do with the weather last week. But if you could get clicking on all cylinders, this offense is going to be pretty well. And they were close to all cylinders in game one. But if they could get more explosive plays, I think you have to play Penix. I like Ramsey. He's a winner. He's a tough kid, a great leader. but he needs to. He's going to get hurt by the lack of zip on his ball, where Michael Penix saw him put the ball where players needed it at the speed that they needed it to make plays in the open field, where the receiver with Ramsey is waiting for the ball, and sometimes that allows that defender to come up, make a play, either knock the ball down or intercept it. So I think going forward, you go with the two quarterback system. Forget about Penix's red shirt. Honestly, you don't really care about 2021 or 2022 right now. This is a big game, a big year for IU. You can start out the year 3-0 and get back to a bowl game. And if you go to a bowl game this year, that's 3 and 4 years. Now, instead of talking about bowl droughts, fans, so-called experts, national people will say, oh, this Indiana team's won. It has, you know, it went to bowl games 3 out of the last 4 years, and that's becoming the expectation. So,
yeah,
not many concerns other than this is a classic trap game. It's a noon game. Ball State travels really well. I don't know if people watched the Ball State Notre Dame game, but it looks like there are a lot of red in the seats up in South Bend for a MAC team visiting Notre Dame. And whenever they've come to Bloomington, they've traveled really well. A lot of respect for those Ball State folks who come down to Bloomington. But IU needs to focus. It's one of those sleepy noon games. Hopefully, I heard a rumor that there's another hurricane in the Carolinas and it might come to Indiana. I don't know. I'm sick of rain. I need some sun. So hopefully, right now the forecast is for 84 and sunny. Hopefully that stays true, and we could get a good, clean game before heading into Big Ten play. All right, TJ, keys to the game.
What
the
is your
key
one?
For me is,
yeah,
the first
go ahead.
Key for me is going to be can the Indiana running game back up the performance that we saw against Virginia? For me, that's twofold. Number one, it's going to be the offensive line, and number two, going to be Scott, and who can step up as a second or third running back. Hopefully you can get a nice rotation of guys that can get the job done. That means the coaches need to find a couple guys that they can trust with the ball in their hands, and then whoever those players end up being that they can produce. I mean, Stevie Scott looks like the real deal. It did not look like a fluke. Moves his feet very well for a guy his size. He's patient. He's elusive, powerful, falls forward.
Reminds me of
all
Jordan Howard. Reminds me a little bit of Jordan Howard, power running. You know, he wasn't going to bust out a lot of 40-yard runs. Now, Stevie Scott had a couple, but he always got those 5-6 yards, fell forward, very rarely got hit for a loss. I think Stevie Scott lost about 4 yards the other night. So, yeah, he's been impressive.
Yeah, so, but like you said, game, that's just not realistic for, pardon me, any player to do throughout an entire college football season in the Big Ten East, but particularly a true freshman. So IU has got to find other guys that can help carry the load, and I think the offense needs to be a little careful with how they use Mike Majette, because right now, every time Majette comes in the game, the defense knows it's a pass. I mean, it is an automatic tell when he comes in, it's for pass block. And that's fine, but you've got to diversify some, and I'm sure the offensive staff is aware of that and will make that adjustment. I mean, I'm not, you know, giving away any state secret there. So I'm looking to see, can the run game kind of sustain the dominance that they showed against Virginia? Because if you could do it 2 weeks in a row, it starts to become something you can trust.
Definitely. It's something you can trust and, you know, that you can build on, it, especially going into the
right.
10th season and ending September on a strong note. My first key to the game is you've got to clean up mistakes. You got to start fast and clean up those mistakes on special teams. And, you know, maybe IU takes the ball on offense this time. The first drive kind of set the tone a little early against Virginia. Maybe you give the offense a chance to get an early lead and not play from behind. But if they do end up winning toss and playing on defense, I think getting a stop on that first drive is going to be key to how this game goes on Saturday.
The tone of this game is going to be important because I know that the Ball State fans remember, I don't know about the players, but I know the Ball State fans will remember that they've won 3 out of 4, in this series. And I know for darn sure that IU fans remember it. And it's something that we're kind of sick of dealing with. So I feel confident speaking for quite a few IU fans in saying that, this is a game that, we want Indiana to come out, establish themselves pretty early, and leave no doubt here. So I would very much appreciate if the Hoosiers could kind of turn this into a comfortable afternoon. Second key of the game for me is going to be on the defensive side. I want to see Indiana get after Riley Neal. That doesn't have to be sacks, but I think if you can force Ball State some negative plays, typically going to come from come against the running or against the quarterback getting sacks, or maybe in the running game it means getting penetration and getting a loss. So tackles for loss, those havoc plays for the defense. I think if you can get this Ball State offense behind the chains, off schedule, they would have a hard time coming back from that with Indiana's secondary, and I think you'd force a lot of punts for Ball State, which, in good weather conditions, Jason Harris, of course, is a weapon back there. So I want to see Indiana's defense, whether that's the linebackers, defensive ends, the tackles, maybe a safety coming on a blitz, or however it's manufactured. I want to see some good havoc plays for this defense, force Ball State off schedule, and make Riley Neal and those receivers beat what is a pretty good Indiana secondary.
Yeah, my second key to the game goes along with that, and it's going to be takeaways. Takeaways are the great equalizer in the game of football. So not turning the ball over, IU is +2 on turnover margin this year. They forced a takeaway in each game after only getting 13 a year ago. They're already up to 4. There were a couple balls on the ground for Virginia that IU could have jumped on, didn't. Maybe one or two of them didn't have a chance that there was no IU player there. But if you could not turn the ball over against Ball State and give them fewer chances to score points. Now, Ball State did force 3 takeaways last week. They only scored 3 points off of that. But to give your offense a little bit of confidence to handle the ball and keep the ball off the ground, and they've done that pretty well through games 1 and 2, and then taking the ball away. I'm hoping it's a big crowd. This is, the weather's supposed to be good. IU's 2-0. That you could start 3-0, although it's a noon game, it should be a big crowd. It'll energize that crowd. The stadium seems a little bit louder this year with the enclosed end zones, keeping the noise in. So takeaways is my second key to the game. You kind of touched on it, your matchup to watch, TJ, with the IU secondary and the passing game for Ball State. Is that your matchup to watch?
Yeah, I think you could go there. You could go with, IU's receivers versus Ball State secondary. And you could go with the Hoosiers offensive line against Ball State's D-line. But I think I will go with IU's secondary against Riley Neal and the Ball State wideouts. When you have a guy that's completing only 57.5% of his passes, I know it's a small sample size, but that's what college football is. It's a small sample. So when you have a guy completing that low of a percentage, you would expect that he's trying a lot of deep passes. His yards per average there are only 5.5 yards attempt. So, to me, that says that either one, he's kind of due for a really accurate day, or two, there's a big opportunity for the Hoosiers secondary to force him into a rough day, particularly if that pass rush can create some negative, obvious passing down situations.
Riley Neal did complete 70% of his passes against Central Connecticut State, only 46 against Notre Dame. So, you know, his accuracy probably falls, you know, somewhere between 70 and 46. So we'll see. My matchup to watch is probably the same as yours. It's Riley Neal against the back seven for Indiana. He can run a little bit too. And just getting them into passing downs, making plays on the ball, knocking down passes, and making the tackle. It was difficult on Saturday to judge how many times guys slipped off tackles because of the weather and things like that. So we'll see. I really, really think that stopping Riley Neal is the key to this game, and not letting them get two-dimensional. If IU can keep them one-dimensional, like they did Virginia, IU should walk away with the win. Prediction time, TJ. What is your prediction for Saturday?
Yeah, I'm going to go Indiana, taking home this one 35-17. So 35-17, an 18-point win for the Hoosiers. I'm not predicting a made field goal because I have zero confidence in that phase of the game right now. But I will go with all made extra points on the 5 touchdowns that the Hoosiers get. I like IU's offense in this matchup, and I like what I've seen in general from the offense overall. So I think the Hoosiers have a good offensive day. This is not a walkover. I think we're both in agreement there that the Ball State that is on the field this year is going to be a significantly better product than what they had last year due to some major, major injury issues. So this is not an easy one. It is a very important game for Indiana to win. It's a very important game for Ball State, for sure, as well as it is any time you get on the field with a Big Ten opponent, especially your in-state rival. So it's a big one on Saturday, but I like IU's offense to do very well, and then the Ball State offense, I think, will get some nice plays, but I think Indiana's defense overall does enough to give IU a somewhat comfortable victory. It won't be a blowout, though. I think Ball State will do enough to hang around for a while.
Yeah, right now IU's 0-2 against the spread this season. The spread for this game is 14.5.
Yeah, barely.
Just barely 0-2. If you're betting IU in the points, you got to be frustrated. IU, I think, matches up well. It's another game under the belt of these young guys. We saw the improvements that they've made from week one to week two. They're only going to get better. The weather is supposed to be better, so it should be conducive to more offense. I think Ball State does put up some points. James Gilt, they're just too good not to score. So I'm going to go IU 34, Ball State 20. Can you get that backdoor cover, maybe? On this, it's going to be a dogfight, and it's going to be a fun game to watch. These are the games that you like to watch. We saw a MAC team knock off a Big Ten team last week in Eastern Michigan, Purdue. So you cannot take these teams lightly, and this is going to be a tough Ball State team. They're going to come in with a chip on their shoulder. These in-state matchups are always tough. But you have guys on Ball State who wanted an offer from Indiana, didn't get it, feel insulted. Maybe they carry that into the game. They play just that much harder against the big in-state Big Ten teams and will make it difficult. But I do think, you know, Indiana's a better team on paper. And if they play well, I'm going to go 34-20. And they start Big Ten play 3-0 with a night game against Michigan State on September 22nd. All right, guys. TJ, thanks for joining me, and have a wonderful Monday evening, and hopefully the sun comes out sometime this week.
Absolutely. Same to you and all of our listeners. Hope everyone has a good week and is able to either be in attendance on Saturday or watch on TV and join us for all of our post-game coverage.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Head to HoosierHuddle.com for all your updates on IU Hoosier football. We have our notes and quotes from Tom Allen up already this evening. Hey, follow us on Twitter at @Hoosier_Huddle. Don't forget to print out your bingo cards for this week or save them on your phone, however you want to do it. And do not forget to send them in. You cannot win if you don't send them in. So send them in. We had 5 winners in week 1. We had 1 winner so far last week. We sent them in. So please send them in so you can get rewarded. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back next week on Monday to recap the IU Ball State game and preview Indiana-Michigan State in the battle for the old brass platoon.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.